Good morning to you all. We do serve an amazing God. You know, when he actually knows who we are, he knows our hearts, and he still loves us. I find that absolutely amazing. And when I look at one or two of you, I think it's even never mind. Sorry, shouldn't go there. This morning, I'd like to just share something from the fact that it's just coming up to Easter now. And I was reading in Matthew, and when Jesus had told his disciples that he was going to go to Jerusalem, he was going to go to the cross, he was going to die. And they went, no. They really didn't understand. And even though he said, look, this is what's going to happen, they still really wouldn't accept it. And they didn't understand what was going on. So at this stage of Easter leading up to the crucifixion, I think next Sunday is Palm Sunday, the disciples knew. Jesus himself already knew what was going to happen. He understood his Father's will. Did he have the options or the ability to not do it? Yes, he had that option. He had the power. We were doing a study on Mark in that the fact that he calmed the waters. So he had control of the elements and everything. So he could have stopped going to the cross without any real problem at all. But he chose to follow his Father's will. And in, as I say, Mark 10:33, he tells his disciples, I'm going to the cross. But there was no understanding. And the question for you today, for me, is, and to myself, is how do we see the cross today? What is our response to the cross? Do we understand what the cross is really all about? And as I look out here, I know that most of you, all of you, born again, you understand that we've been saved by the cross. Through Jesus' death, we have been saved. We are brought into the family of God. And the cross itself is not just a story. For us who are born again, it's not just a story. It's not just an event in the calendar of the church's life. It's the fact that it's Jesus dying for us. And it's not something that we can understand with our minds or our intellect. It's something that happens in the heart. When we get born again, it doesn't appeal to the intellectual people. It doesn't appeal to the wise and the worldly, because it's discerned spiritually. And God gives us the faith to accept the cross into our lives. He gives us the grace to be born again, to be brought into his family, to become sons and daughters in the house. And I think for me, that is the beginning of the cross. It is not the end. And for many of us, that is what the cross is about. And God is looking for men and women who are completely surrendered to his will, just as Jesus did. Now, I don't know about you, but I find there are times the Lord asks things of me that I do sort of inclined to take a bit of a backward step and say, maybe ask Andrew. It's not my place to do this. But it's unfortunate or fortunate that the Lord gives us things, puts us in a place or positions where he wants us to serve him in what he puts before us. And we need to understand here that I'm not Andrew. Andrew's not me. Bernie, any of us, Glenn, each one of us has a place that the Lord wants us to be in. Each one of us has a ministry or a gifting or a position, whatever you want to call it, that the Lord wants to use us in. We are not the same. And when I read Paul and the life that he went through, I must admit, I think, Lord, please, I don't think I can handle that. But that's not my calling. That's not what the Lord has called me to do. And in some regards, I'm not a pastor. I haven't been called to one. I know that he has. You understand what I'm saying? So each one of us has our own place. And what the Lord is looking for is somebody, men and women, who are completely surrendered to his will. Does that mean you're going to get it right every time? No. The question is, do you have the heart or the attitude to want to do it? To want to do the Lord's will? You know, the Lord gives us free will every time. And when we talk about the cross, I just want to share this morning a little bit on what Jesus actually accomplished on the cross. So if you come with me to Philippians 3, verse 12. I'd just like to read something from Paul when it comes to me standing here or being part of God's family. And I just want to read this to you. And Paul was talking about being a Christian, looking for the Lord to change him, looking for that upward call. We heard in the song just now, that upward call of God in Christ. And I just want to read it here. It says, "Brother and sisters, do not consider that I have made it my own yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature, pursuing spiritual perfection, should have this attitude. And if in any respect you have a different attitude, that too God will make it clear to you." And what I want to say here for myself is that I have not arrived. None of you have arrived. I hate to break it to you, but none of us arrived. And until I believe that we meet Jesus himself, none of us will have arrived. There's always a work to be done in our hearts at all times. And what happens is, Jesus died to save us. Yes, we all understand that. But when we believe that Jesus came to save us, we had a response or a reaction. And most of the world have had a reaction where they've rejected it. We have responded by saying yes. So for every belief that we have, there's a response and acceptance. And by faith, we have received Christ into our lives and we've been born again. So we are now part of that family, part of the kingdom. But what the Lord wants is a maturity. He wants us to grow. And sometimes growing is quite difficult. I don't know about you, but once you're born again, you think, okay, that's all done. And then the Lord wakes you up and says, okay, now the work actually starts. And that, for some people, is quite a shock, because it's easy just to say born again and we can carry on living as we want. But the Lord does not want us to continue to live as we want, but to live as he wants. And that is always the difficult part. So one of the things that we read is that you're born again, or you believe, you're born again, and you're baptized. In other words, there's always a response. There's an action that follows your faith. Faith, in James, he says, "I will show you my works by my faith." Or I'll show you my faith by my works. Sorry, get it right where I'm. In other words, you don't just do works and expect it, but it's your faith that allows you to do these works for the Lord. So if we want to read, I want to talk about the cross. So I'll read it to you. It's probably easier if I read it to you. It's 1 Corinthians 1:18. And it's a very simple message. And when Paul is writing to the Corinthians, he says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness, absurd and illogical to those who are perishing and spiritually dead because they have rejected it. But to us who are being saved by God's grace, it is the manifestation of the power of God." And very simply, we're looking at the fact that the cross doesn't make sense to the intellect or to the mind. But the Lord is wanting us to mature in the cross. And there are two parts to the cross. There's the saving. When you get born again, you're saved. But the other part of the cross is to allow us to come to a place of maturity. And the Lord has given us a lot of men, Andrew, there's a lot of people around, pastors, ministers, apostles, teachers. And Ephesians, Paul speaks to Ephesians about all the gifts that have been given to the church for one particular reason. That is to grow the church. But you can't grow the church if you don't grow yourself. So if you're in a place of leadership or even being part of the congregation, you need to be in a place of growing yourself. You can't just sit. Because from my understanding, if I just sit, then I'm backsliding. Sorry, I must say that. Because for me, if I'm not going forward, where am I going? If I'm standing still, then I'm probably going backwards. Does that make sense to you? And so we need to be in a place of growing. So I just want to read Ephesians. Ephesians 4. And verse 12. And he's just been speaking about all the differing ministries, giftings, the apostles, the teachers, the preachers, the evangelists, and and pastors. Sorry, I don't remember Andrew. Yeah. And he's given us these giftings. I'll read it to you. And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service, to build up the body of Christ, the church, until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity. The Lord wants us to grow because he is building his church. And if we're not growing, it's going to be very difficult to grow his church. And so we all need to be in a place where he is allowed to work in us. And this is where we need to look at the second part, what I call the other half of the cross. And that is when we are confronted by the cross, and we accept that the cross is there not just to save us, but to mature us, to grow us. The cross confronts our lives. And in Luke 9:23, and I'd very much like, if you've got Bibles, to please go there. It's Luke 9:23. And there's parts of scripture that lots of people don't always read or don't particularly like sometimes. But it's what the Lord wants of us. And so I'll read it to you. Luke 9:23, and he was saying to him, he's talking to his disciples, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside his selfish interests, and take up his cross daily, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if needs be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me. For whoever wishes to save his life in this world will eventually lose it through death. But whoever loses his life in this world for my sake, he is the one who will save it from the consequences of sin and separation from God. Now, maturity as a Christian is not how much you know. And I've met many theologians, scholars, who have an incredible knowledge of the Bible, but no revelation, no heart. They are the one or two that I've met, not all of them, please don't misunderstand me. They are men who are religious. There's an understanding, but there's no revelation. There's no understanding of what the Bible is actually all about. And as I said, it's not just a teaching. It's not just a teaching. It is a revelation that comes from God for us believers to be grown, to mature into people who are spiritually mature in a place to organize, grow, run, whatever may be the place, the family, to build his church, to build his bride the way he wants it to be built. The real you is exposed by the cross. When we expose ourselves, when the cross is exposed to us, we begin to see who we truly are. If anyone would follow me, he should deny himself. We all understand the word denial, because often as a parent, or probably even as a kid, you have parents who say, "Can I?" No, it's very simple, denial. And what the Lord is talking about is denial of yourself. In other words, putting yourself aside and letting his will take over. We do argue about that, I think, a lot of us. But the Lord wants us to continue. And as I said, for my part, there are times maybe I don't feel that it feel. You hear the words. It's emotional. It's intellectual. But it's that revelation that allows me to continue letting the Lord work in my life. And it's only as we deny ourselves, only as we come before the cross, it exposes us. It shows us who we really are. And I don't know about you, but I don't like seeing who I really am. I've got over that. I know who I am. The Lord has shown me very clearly who I am. And as Paul says, there's nothing good in me. It's Christ that lives in me, and it's in him that I need to live and have my being. One of the things that when you discover who you really are, you don't want to carry on discovering who you are. Because every time the Lord shows us something and we deal with it, he'll show us more. I'm not too sure about the rest of you, but that is the case in my life. And none of us have reached perfection. None of us have reached that maturity where we need to stop. We may be mature in years, and some of you have been around for a long time. Longer than me, some of you. not all of you as long as I have, but the one thing that I've seen is that the Lord wants us to be entering the kingdom of heaven through the narrow gate. And the narrow gate requires us to live a life that is pleasing to God, to live a righteous life, to live a holy life. And it's only in that place where you live that holy life, or that righteous life, that you get the joy that comes with it. And one of the things we need to do is we have to identify with Jesus. When I say identify with Jesus, we need to identify him with him in our suffering, in his suffering, in his death, and in his resurrection. Now, people don't like to hear the fact that we have to suffer and die for Jesus. We have to. We have to pick up our cross. We have to deny ourselves. The interesting thing is that when we talk about a resurrected life, resurrection follows death, if you understand my saying. And if we're not prepared to die, we're not going to get resurrected. Does that make sense? I need to be a little bit clearer, possibly. And we can't save ourselves. The Lord has already saved us, but he wants us to grow. And it's by accepting the cross of that work in our lives, by denying ourselves, that we can grow and understand what he's after us. One thing I've actually seen, the biggest problem in church leadership, and not this church, this is why I stand here this morning, but in church leadership, one of the biggest problems of all is that a lot of them are not confronted by the cross. Paul speaks of it all the time. Once you read the scriptures, it's very clear. Paul continually brings us back to the cross in everything that we do. And if those men in the church leadership are not allowing the cross to confront their lives, they never get to a place of dying to self. Their interests are for themselves. Their interests are material. Their interests are based on the world, on the, what's with the human side of it, the fleshly side of it. And they allow things like emotions, the intellect, to determine how they run a church or how they operate. And a lot of them are still caught up in the material things of this world. And Jesus said, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. And a lot of them do not see the necessity to deny themselves. So there's a lot of infighting. They are driven by emotions. They are driven by, I hesitate to use the word, gain, worldly gain. And we need to understand that they are not going to be people that I would want to follow. Paul himself knew exactly what it was all about. In 1 Corinthians 2, he says we need to identify with Jesus. We need to identify him in his suffering, his death, and his resurrection as being the only way for us to go forward to perfection. In Philippians 3, we've already read it. Paul understood he hadn't arrived and that he was still looking for that perfection. And the only way he could look for that perfection was by allowing the Lord to work in his heart, by denying himself, picking up his cross, and continuing to serve the Lord. Question: how easily are leaders in the churches these days offended? How easily is leadership offended in a church? This man's not. And I will say that. You don't mind me picking on you. So. We need to see what is happening in Ben's life. Because if you're offended by somebody, mainly the reaction is you react. You want to come back. You want to bite back. But Jesus said, deny yourself. And he said, if somebody slaps you on the cheek, turn the other one. For most of us, that is a difficult thing to do. I still have to ask the Lord to deal with me. Because somebody offends me, what's the first thing you do? You want to ever go back, don't you? But if you're denying yourself, you're saying, Lord, this man's offended me. Lord, forgive me for being offended. Forget about the other person. This whole gospel is about ourselves. It's an attitude of heart. It's about an affair that we have with the Lord. And if I can't go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me for being offended, I know it's the other way around. But the gospel does turn the world upside down. We're not saying, go have a go back at them. And where's the best place to start? In your marriage, or partners, or work, or play, whatever it may be. It's those people closest to you. That's where life starts. Because if you're not prepared to deny yourself right from the beginning, you're never going to have a truly spiritual relationship with your wife, husband, partner. Basically, you need to be careful that you are living the life that the Lord wants you to live. For me, I just share a bit of personal testimony. Hope she doesn't get too embarrassed. But I've shared before that in the past, our lives were quite rocky. They, in fact, non-existent at one time. But when we understood, both of us understood the true message of the cross, the gospel came into play. Where we applied the cross to all the scripture that we had, something happened in both of our lives. Is our life perfect? No. Well, I'm a good... No. Basically, is our life perfect? No, it's not perfect. But we have a peace now. There's a joy. There's a relationship that I have with my wife that I never had before. When we both understood that we needed to deny ourselves, bring ourselves before the cross, and allow the Lord to do the work in us, that's when things changed. Do I know how they changed? No. We're doing a study in Mark 4 where we talked about the seed, where the farmer plants a seed, he lets it go. He doesn't know how it grows. I'm not a horticulturist or whatever. When you put a seed in the ground, I know that it grows. I don't know the mechanisms, I don't know how, I don't know what gives it life, but I know that it happens. And when you allow the gospel to come into your life, to deny yourself, let me tell you what, things change. Is it difficult? Yes, because you've got to stop yourself and say, whose interests am I here for? Am I here for the interests of my wife? Am I prepared to give her the best of everything? You know, we used to say, if you had a cup of tea, you're making tea. And a fly drops into your wife's cup. What do you do? Do you just flip the fly out and just give it to her quietly? No problem. Or do you take that cup, empty it out, and make it again? Or do you take it yourself? You understand what I'm saying here? And that is what it's all about. Because if I can't give her the preference in my life, Peter, Paul, John as well, they all say, love your wife as yourself. You cannot love somebody as yourself unless you truly deny yourself. You allow the cross to work in your life. You allow Jesus to work in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to have ascendancy in your life. It's not going to happen. You can have a superficial relationship, but it's never going to be anything of meaning. The Lord is building his church. He's building a body. And if we can't come to the place where we're giving one another preference to ourselves, the Lord has difficulty working with us. He's placed us here for a reason. This church, the Lord has something for it. I really feel in the spirit that there's something happening. But if we're not in a place where we're prepared to accept, deny ourselves when other people arrive, it's not going to happen. But the Lord wants to use us. He wants to mature us. He wants to grow us. We were talking about suffering. Suffering is something that we live in this world. All of us have circumstance. We all have circumstances of physical, mental, emotional suffering. But one of the biggest areas of suffering that I've experienced in my own life is denying myself. Putting aside my self-interest for the interest of others. That takes suffering. Whether you like it or not, if I'm going to give somebody else preference to my own life, it's going to hurt. my pride. Somebody offends me, I've got to actually say, Andrew offends me. I've got to go, Andrew, forgive me. And he goes, what for? You offended me. Does that make sense? In the gospel, it does. Because I need to get my heart right. It doesn't matter what Andrew does. It's what I do in my own heart. And that is where we need to come to that place of suffering. And it does take suffering. If you've ever had your pride truly dented, I mean really dented, to come back to the person that has maybe spoken to you clearly and say, thank you, my brother, or thank you, my sister. That hurts. There's a denial there. When somebody talks to you and you don't like the way they speak to you, swallow. Swallow. Don't go back at them. Swallow. Because Jesus said, deny yourself. Somebody slaps you on the cheek, turn the other one. Is this easy? Is it for everybody? Well, it's for everybody that the Lord has called, and you are everybody. But it's interesting to note that in Luke, beginning, it says, if anybody would be my disciple. And the Lord always gives us a choice to do it or not do it. We're not talking about losing your salvation here. But we're talking about growing, coming to that place of maturity, coming to that place where we want to experience the real joy and the peace of the Lord. And we can't do that by not going through the process. Jesus suffered, died, and rose again. We can't live a resurrection life without the death. There's a story that says everybody wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to die. It's not a joke. It's quite clear. Because we need to be bringing ourselves where we allow the power of the cross to change our lives. We can deny it. We can back off. Or we can say, no, we just want to claim our inheritance, Lord. We are children. We are heirs. We just want our inheritance. It doesn't work that way. The Lord wants us all to grow, to become mature. And the only way you do that is by allowing the cross to actually work in your life. And we need it. Romans 12:2 says we need to be transformed. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. We're talking about a spiritual transformation inside. And for us, it starts on the inside, it comes to the outside. Whatever revelation happens here needs to be expressed in action. If I'm prepared to look after my wife and I'm prepared to deny myself, that is followed through by my actions towards her. I can't just think it and just leave the fly in the tea. I need to fix it. I need to be in a place of repairing it. I can't just leave it alone. I need to fix it. And I know that maybe we're not here to try and remove all the joy of being a Christian. We just need to understand that the true joy comes when we're in that place where the Lord is dealing with us. We can understand that there's hard times in some areas and good times in others. That's life, all circumstances. But we need to allow that work to happen. And that is when the joy comes. That's where the peace comes. As I said to you, I've got relationships that have been repaired over the years. Some of them irreparable, including this one. But the Lord has seen fit, because we've both been prepared to stand and say, okay, we are here. We're prepared to not deny ourselves. We're prepared to pick up our cross. We're prepared to walk as you want us to walk. Is it perfect? No. But there's a relationship now that I have a real joy in, a real peace in it, whatever may happen. And we have the grace. All of us. The Lord has given us the grace. The grace to say, yes, Lord, I want to do this. And with what we do, however it happens, the Lord will give us the grace to walk through it. You know, when Paul was complaining, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. And he says, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. We have grace. And we need to rest in that grace to understand that the Lord has given it to us so that we can follow him as we should. And one of my favorite verses is Philippians 1:6. The Lord will finish what he started. When I look at one or two of you, I must admit, but it's not me. It's the Lord. He knows what he's doing. And he will finish what he started. Absolutely. A, there's no question about the faith that I have in the Lord finishing what He has asked us to do. Andrew's been sharing on forgiveness, repentance, and love. Like I shared last time on hope. We all need to know that to walk in this forgiveness, to walk in repentance, to walk in love, we need something to happen in our hearts. We can't just love. We need to have the love of the Lord working in us. And the only way we can do that is denying Himself. Love is not an emotion. It's an act of the will. Jesus chose to die on the cross when He didn't have to. He chose to die because of us. You, me, right here this morning. That's why Jesus died. Because He loved us. And it was an act of the will. His Father's will. He knew what His Father's will is. At the crucifixion, the disciples were distraught. They went and hid. They didn't understand. But when the Holy Spirit came, they understood. They understood what Jesus had done. They understood that they had to identify with Him in the suffering, the death, and resurrection. And that is how the church began. We were talking about the fact that on the crucifixion, how many Christians, how many people who believed and followed Jesus, followed Him as disciples? We're talking about maybe 120 people total. How many Christians, born-again Christians, are there in the world today? That's where it started. And it's for us to continue where the Lord wants us to be. So that concludes where I want to share with you this morning. And at this stage, I'd like to have communion. When it comes to communion, table of the Lord, we understand that we are here to remember what Jesus has done for us. And I just want to remind you that the cross, being born again, is only the beginning. The Lord wants us to mature, to grow, to become spiritual men and women who are able to grow His church. And so this morning, I'd like to ask if I would just like to speak to it. And then if you come up and get the elements, but then share it with one another, pray with one another, take your time, just allow the Lord to speak to you. If you need to pray with a brother or a sister, do so. If you need to ask forgiveness, do so. If you need to repent, do so. It's the time of the Lord. The Lord is here for each and every one of us right now. And that is to allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit and say, Lord, what do you want? So, Jesus went at the Last Supper with the disciples, broke bread and said, take, eat, for this is my body broken for you. And after dinner, He took the cup of wine and said, take, drink, for this is my blood which is shed for you for the remission of many sins. We have all been set free. We live in freedom. So if I can ask if you could come up, take the elements, eat, drink in your own time, pray with one another, share with one another. Be free. This is the house of the Lord, and the Lord is here. And I believe we should do this in remembrance of what He's done, and do this in remembrance of what He is going to do. So please, be free to come up and take up the offering.